Now the Talk of the Nation opinion page. Here's the general mood in the U.S. right now. Doom and gloom. Just look at the headlines. A lousy economy, foreclosures, high gas prices. Almost 80% of Americans in one poll recently said we're worse off today than we were 5 years ago. Which is simply not true in most cases, or so says Greg Easterbrook. In an op-ed on Friday's Wall Street Journal, he argued that life is actually pretty good. There are two realities in the U.S., he says. When you ask people about their own experiences, their jobs or schools, they say things are good. Asked about the state of the national economy or schools or health care, most Americans say the country is on the wrong track. Greg Easterbrook joins us in a moment. So tell us, how does the general sense of crisis conform to what you see in your own life? 800-989-8255. Email us. Talk@npr.org. You can go to our blog as well at npr.org/blogofthenation. Greg Easterbrook is the author of The Progress Paradox, How Life Gets Better While People Feel Worse. He joins us on the phone from his hotel in California. Nice to talk with you again.
Hi, Neil.
And before the calls start pouring in, you do express one reservation with that argument that people are better off than ever, and that's the long and bloody war in Iraq.
Sure. No one would argue that everything is fine. There are all kinds of problems in the United States. The Iraq War, long, bloody, costly, no clear purpose. There's a good reason for Americans to be disturbed about the situation in Iraq. And there are good reasons to worry about the economy. And obviously, even if most people are better off, that doesn't mean that everyone is. There are lots of Americans that are having problems. But objectively, America is this year the best off that we have ever been in our history. If you want to measure it by per capita income converted into real dollars, we're the best off we've ever been. Living standards are the highest that they've ever been. Longevity is the highest that it's ever been. Most rates of major diseases are declining. All forms of pollution except for greenhouse gases are declining. Crime is in a 20-year cycle of decline. Education levels are at an all-time high. I don't think there's any year in America's history that you would exchange for the year 2008, because we're living the best that we've ever lived right now. But, of course, that doesn't mean that we don't have problems.
You cite an instance during the recent campaign, and I think it was in Pennsylvania, where Senator Clinton said, we have to return to the prosperity of the 1990s, and got a huge round of applause. Nevertheless, you say, in Pennsylvania, in the 1990s, things were not as good then as they are now.
I went back and looked in 1990, converting to today's dollars, of course, per capita income in Pennsylvania was 23% lower than it is today, and the unemployment rate was slightly higher than the current Pennsylvania unemployment rate. Of course, in Senator Clinton's case, she's making a political appeal. Her husband was president in the 1990s. But this points to the romanticization of the past that we're all guilty of thinking that our parents had it better than we did, or that there was some good old days in the past. When were the good old days exactly? The 1950s, systemic discrimination against blacks, women, and gays. The 1960s, inflation-adjusted income was less than half of what it is today. The 1970s, we had runaway inflation in that period. It was almost impossible for the average person to buy a house. The 1980s, if you had a pension fund, you were really hoping that the Dow Jones would break 2,000. So if someone could tell me when the good old days were, maybe I'd believe in them. But I think the good old days are right now.
Greg Easterbrook is on our opinion page today. He's a fellow at the Brookings Institution. You can read his op-ed, Life is Good, So Why Do We Feel So Bad?, through a link on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And as you look at this argument, nevertheless, why is it, do you think, that people feel this way if objective reality does not conform to that?
Well, I think partly we've been programmed to be complainers. Americans are really good at complaining. What you get good at what you practice, and man, do we practice complaining. I think that's one reason. I partly, Neil, blame the media. The media are ever better at projecting negative images. The technical proficiency, especially of the television media, projecting negative images continues to impress me. Anything that goes wrong anywhere in the world 24/7, we immediately see images of it. There's no reason why we shouldn't. We need to know what's going wrong in the world. But because we're surrounded by images of what's going wrong, this gives us the impression that everything is going wrong, when in fact most things are getting better for most people, even in most developing nations.
Yet let's see if we can get a caller on the line. And this is Cynthia. Cynthia's with us from Vernon in New York.
Hi, everybody. My name is Cynthia. I'm 78 years old. I've got two master's degrees, and my pension is $24,000 a year. And I went to the grocery store, and there's three peppers for $3.39. So I want to say to this fellow from the Wall Street Journal article, if you make $200,000 a year, terrific, or $100,000 a year, terrific, good times are here. But for the vast majority of people, the reality is these are can you spare a dime? What do you call it? Times. They're bad.
Greg Easterbrook?
Well, as we said at the beginning, obviously there are people with individuals who have problems. You can find areas of the country, especially in the old industrial Midwest, where jobs are declining rather than rising. But if you look at the country as a whole, excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. Things
That's
are
okay.
great. I follow the probably the best public policy polling data comes from the Pew Research Center in Philadelphia. Pew has been polling on a lot of questions for 40 years, including the key question for average people, can you afford what you need to buy? And right now, Pew's number in the can afford category is 52%. That's the highest that it's ever been. That Pew finds more people report that they, in fact, can afford what they need to buy, even with food and fuel prices high, than at any point in U.S. history. So for society as a whole, most people can afford what they need to purchase. Obviously, retirees or people who live in central Ohio or central Pennsylvania, that could be different.
May I respond, Neil?
If you could keep it short, because we're running out of time.
Yeah, okay, great. Listen, I am not as swift as I used to be, but 52 to 48%, that's not enough of the people being able to buy things. In the height of the Depression in the 30s, the unemployment rate was 23%.
And it's about 5% now.
We know how terrible it was then, so I'll hang up because I know that you're running out of time.
All right, and you sound plenty swift to me, Cynthia.
Oh, are you kidding? Thanks a lot,
right,
Neil.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Greg, we just have a few seconds left.
Well, I wish I had a brilliant summary thought for you, Neil. To be optimistic or to be appreciative of the current condition of the country is not to be a Pollyanna. Obviously, we have lots of problems and many reforms needed. But Americans need to be more grateful for how good we live compared both to the rest of the world and to Americans of the past.
Greg Easterbrook, thank you very much. And I guess we should all feel sorry for that frog.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Greg Easterbrook, a fellow at the Brookings Institution. And again, you can read his op-ed at our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. Tomorrow, Lynn Neary will be here to guest host. We'll be back Wednesday from the museum. I'm Neil Conan, and this is NPR News.